Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network. Station.
Shalom. We back for another Shabbat. What's going on? We back. You already know. It's going down. We're live. We are always live on the Shabbat. Hey, man, I hope you're ready for this one, man. I don't know if you're ready for this show, man. Man, you're always doing big things. And this show is a special edition show in which we're going to have some brothers come on here. And we're going to talk about some issues that are plaguing and are going down in the body of the Mashiach, Yahushua the Messiah. And we're going to show you today. You're going to have the sufficient evidence today that, hey, Yahushua is the Messiah forevermore. So I hope you're ready for this. But anyway, we're going to move along and approach the throne so you are able, and we are able to come to the Father and see what's going on. Father, we thank you, Yahushua HaMashiach name, for another day. Father, we thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for another Shabbat. Father, we pray today, Father, that you would just show us what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere, Father, that you would just lead us and guide us and show us great and awesome things, Father. We pray that the Ruach HaKodesh, Father, that we would decrease, that the Ruach would increase, your spirit would increase, that we may just understand what's going on in the spiritual atmosphere, Father. And we just pray that it would bless somebody, that it would plant seeds in somebody, Father, that we would be able to understand the signs of the times. So we thank you, and we love you. In Yahushua HaMashiach's name, we pray. So be it. Hallelujah. Amen. So we got a lot of things brewing. You know, we talked about last week, we got a lot of things brewing. And we wanted to give you just a quick rundown of things that are brewing right now that I don't know if you know, that are continually brewing in the atmosphere. I mean, we talked about the confrontation that U.S. might have with Iran. I just found a new article saying that the U.S. foresees May, the month of, you know, the Gregorian calendar May, as a tentative date for a clash with Iran, floating seals base of Gulf, for the Gulf. And I want to break it down to you. Just like every war, a war is always started by something. You know, that's always going on. And this right here, I talked to a brother last night. He says that he knows somebody that is in the actual military who said that for the last 2 months, the U.S. military has been on standby because of the potential attack against Iran. So, I mean, these articles are legit. You know, these things that we've been talking about, which who have been showing us, these things are legit. And you're talking about a possible war that will begin, things in motion that which are written in scripture. So just a quick rundown of this, because it's about to be a great show, but we're going to give you a quick synopsis of what has been going on. But this article just basically suggests that the Iranian parliament was due to vote on a motion to cut off the supply to the Europe and respond to the EU embargo declared last week. So basically they're saying that the whole Gulf, the whole thing about over there in the war is that Iranians are threatening to close the Strait of Hormuz. Number two, it's two big things. they're threatening to close the Strait of Hormuz, in which a lot of people, the U.S. and the EU, get a lot of their oil. So be clear. The U.S. will go to war over oil. You've seen what George Bush did. You've seen what these things did. Another thing is they said they're not going to stop their nuclear program. So what you have here, you have two things that, which, you know, Obama said, and we talked about last week, that he would go to any lengths to stop Iran. And we know some sources say that he plans to attack Iran before the next presidential election. But I got articles right here that says Russia is ready to back the Iranians. I mean, you have all this going on. Yeah, so all this is basically over oil. And so we're going to continue to keep you abreast about that right now. But we really want to get into this. This is really almost a special edition show, because we really got to get into some issues that have plagued the body of the Messiah. So we're going to have a couple brothers coming on. Actually, right now, we're having brothers coming on right now. Yashron and Yohanan, you're actually on the way with what's going on?
Hey, Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. We got a couple other brothers coming in just a little bit, but I think we can get it started right now. We know that it's just a lot that's going on in the body. It's amazing to be living in these times and seeing these things unfold in which you never thought you would actually see. But I know today we were going to talk about just the mass falling away. So you just want to have a round table and just talk about the falling away. Like, people just falling away from what they have learned. Like, you know, what you have, the foundations of, you know, the faith. Like, people just falling away, and just people just, these doctrines are demons. It's coming from nowhere, and people just getting swept away. So we really want to talk about that and address that issue, because it needs to be addressed. So the floor is open.
Let's see, as far as the falling away, you know, Yahushua had prophesied these things would happen. You know, people would, you know, deny him. And that's basically what's going on right now. People are denying that basically his pre-existence, and also denying his virgin birth. You know, to me, that's like a major issue, because a lot of people try to attach that with the, you know, with the Catholic Church. You know, with Constantine, they try to say, well, that was incorporated inside of the scriptures. You know what I'm saying? To basically further their own agenda. You know, but as you look into history, you'll find out that the original believers, the Nazarenes, we never were called Christians, you know, or Ebionites, none of that madness, right? They were called Nazarenes, followers of the way. And as you look at the accounts of what they believed in the virgin birth.
Yeah.
And not only did they believe in the virgin birth, they believed that Shaul was the last of the apostles. That's what they believed.
Yeah.
You know, but you got these people now saying that Shaul was a false apostle, and that he was promoting lawlessness and all these things here, right? But I'm not going to really elaborate so much on Shaul, but I will say this, is that what a lot of people twist the scriptures to their own destruction about the letter of Shaul is that Shaul was going against the establishment of the Pharisees and scribes. They had a tradition in their oral law, their Talmud, called the Masim HaTorah, I think I'm pronouncing that right, which means works of the law. So when he was saying works of the law in these letters, he wasn't going against the written law. He was going against the oral tradition of the scribes and Pharisees. Laws such as that you have to be circumcised before you can really be converted, you know, and things like that. You know, he was never going against circumcision. He was saying that you don't have to be circumcised to be saved. You know, circumcision is a sign of the covenant. It's not your salvation. You know, the same thing that Shaul was going against, same thing, you know, of course, the Master Yahushua was going against, you know, tradition of men. And see, and Shaul was used to be a Pharisee, as we all know. He was, you know, he studied at the foot of Gamaliel, and basically he learned everything from the two houses of Hillel and Shammai. And these were the two the two houses of, you know, Pharisaic, you know, basically teachings, rabbinic teachings that were added on to the word of Yahuwah. Yahuwah said, do not add to my word or take away from my word. And everyone started following these things, and they were being yokes to the people. And see, by Shaul being used to being a Pharisee, he was going against the establishment, basically, that had him in bondage from the get-go. You know, a lot of us are doing that now, you know, as far as, like, being the bondage traditional man, you know, in the Christian church and so on and so forth. Yahuwah's pulling us out, and we have the information and, you know, an understanding to basically tear down these idols, you know, these things that put them in place of the Messiah, you know what I'm saying? So not just anything that denies the Messiah, anti-Messiah spirit, but anything that goes against Yahusha is an anti-Messiah spirit.
That's a great point. We just had Cedric and Shamar during the conversation, and y'all now on the air, and y'all were just talking about a poignant point. We were just talking about we just discussing the fall and the way he was talking about Shaul, the background about Shaul, and how people. I mean, Kelf, like you said, Kelf even bear witness that. People are twisting his letter. So this is not nothing new. This is not nothing new about people twisting his letter, saying he said this, saying he said this. This is the same old spirit that's coming back.
I was going to say, you know, he was talking about the falling away. And like you said, you know, Yahusha HaMashiach, he talked about that. And, you know, you got to look at it as a blessing as well as being sad for people because, you know, we do care about the salvation of people's souls. But at the same time, Yahusha said that, you know, he talked about a seed. He talked about, you know, what kind of ground the seed would be left on. And he talked about the seed that when persecution comes, you know what I'm saying, people will give up the faith. And he also talked about how the seed, you know, was being choked out because of the cares of the world. And so, you know, those who are with us, you know, they're going to stay with us. Persecution, you know, comes along to... You know what I'm saying? Basically, see the test of heart to see, you know what I'm saying, who really believes in the faith. And I believe Shaul wrote about, if I'm not mistaken, Shaul talked about those things as well, you know, those falling away from the faith.
Yeah, that's Second Thessalonians 2 and 3 said, let no man deceive you by any means, for the day will not come except the falling away come first. You know, it's
right.
Cedric and Shamar, y'all also on the line right now, and you can.
Shabbat Shalom.
And y'all, you can add to the fire, and let's really get down to this, man, because this is something serious.
I feel like you really pretty much summed it up. It's a great falling away, and you know, just we have to test the spirit by the spirit.
Yep. It's
Because
I know.
I mean, if y'all like me to elaborate, I can go to some key points on. Basically, like what they're saying now, and what can we use against what they're saying?
Okay.
If y'all would be interested in hearing that, I got some info, you know, that I've been coming across in my research and praying and studying, and the Father is showing me that that you know a lot of these things that they're saying now, like these quote unquote Yahudim, you know, the people that claim they're Yahudim but never do live or synagogue of Satan. They're basically starting something new as far as, like, not believing in the sun. The old ancient writings, they believed that there was a sun. You look in the wider writings such as the Zohar and the Talmud. They believed that the sun was divine. The Messiah was supposed to be divine. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to share with some accounts to you what happened after Yahusha was ascended to heaven, what kind of things were happening in the temple, showing that, you know what I'm saying, that he was the Messiah. Since they reject Yahusha, who is the presence of Yahuwah, the presence of Yahuwah left. And therefore, without the presence of Yahuwah, that means his first face is turned against you, and now you have desolation and destruction. Because they didn't know the time of their visitation. Okay,
yeah,
hold on.
Don't write and bear witness against them that, you know, that they was in falsehood.
Mm-hmm. Hold on.
I would like to say this. Anybody who says that there was no Messiah, called the prophet Daniel a liar, because the prophet Daniel, and I know people read a lot from the English translation, which is not really a good translation, but that the 52 weeks is actually something else. It's like 52 or 59 times 7. And he said that when the order be given, you know what I'm saying, for the temple to be rebuilt, you know what I'm saying, that's when the countdown would start. And if you do the calculations, you know what I'm saying, the time when Yahushua HaMashiach walked on the earth, he fulfills that prophecy. So anybody who even claims to be, you know, just strictly Tanakh, you know what I'm saying, to deny Yahushua HaMashiach is also to speak against the prophet Daniel.
Mm-hmm. And it's funny you bring that up.
They call him a liar. Huh?
That's funny you bring that up, because I was about to go there about the temple and everything, how Daniel prophesied that the Messiah will come at that specific time.
That's
when you read
right.
the writings, what they were saying in their Tamils and everything is that they believed that Daniel was correct, or maybe they miscalculated, you know, or maybe because their sins were so great that the Messiah didn't show up. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that goes back to the verse when Yahushua says, you didn't know the time of your visitation, you know, so basically Yahushua was sorrowful because they didn't even know the time of visitation, so destruction was going to come upon them. You know,
right.
And now they'll try to refute that now. You got these people now, they'll say, well, that's not what it meant. It meant this, it meant that, because they'll do anything they can to try to take that away from the subject of Messiah. They know it proves that Yahushua is Messiah. And if you look at Isaiah, Yeshayahu, chapter 53, it's about the suffering servant, which is Yahushua HaMashiach. See, what they'll say that chapter is for the nation of Israel. That's a lock in the pits of hell, because that tradition didn't start until this guy who calls himself a rabbi, Rashi. He's the first one in the Middle Ages. He was the first one to say that the Isaiah 53 situation was towards the nation of Israel and not towards the Messiah. So this is a new thing they're coming with. This is not something that they always believed in, and later on, you know, they still keep the same tradition. Now, they're now coming with these doctrines now to where anything they try to take away Yahushua being Messiah, they're trying to put that in the forefront. They're trying to change it up by saying, well, we're the Hebrews, we know better. We know what's what. We know the Hebrew language and all this madness here, so we know the translation really supposed to be. And so they'll use that to basically intimidate people to fall in the way. You know, be like, well, they got to have it right because they're the Hebrews. You know what I'm saying? They got to know what's what. And a lot of our people are going to Judaism. They want to convert, you know what I'm saying, they want to, you know, be these Jews, you know what I'm saying, or they want to deny the mightiness of Yahushua, period, by denying the virgin birth, believing that's paganism. But you cannot find one pagan mythology that says that somebody was born of a virgin. That's a lie. All that stuff they're saying about that all these different guys are born by virgins, it's a lie. It's not even true. I researched this stuff. This stuff is not even true. They'll say that to try to say, well, they got that story from that. No, all these ones had intercourse with these deities, these false deities, and they became pregnant. None of these were virgins before, and all of a sudden the spirit of Yahuwah came upon them. Because Yahushua wasn't conceived by the seed of Yahuwah. He was conceived by the Ruach HaKodesh. That's a lot of people got it wrong. They think that he's conceived, like we're trying to say that the Father himself, you know, conceived the Messiah with Miriam, but no, he was conceived by the Ruach HaKodesh. The Father and the Son had the same spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's one with the Father. You know, you can't have one without the other. The Father is always esteeming the Son. The Son is always esteeming the Father. You look at the relationship all through the Scriptures. The Father is always esteeming the Son, always trying to get people to pay attention to the Son, and the Son is always trying to get people to pay attention to his Father. All the
That's
time.
Right.
That's the kind of relationship that they have. The Son was in the bosom of the Father. No man has seen the Father at any time but Yahushua. Every time a prophet claimed to see Yahuwah in the visions and the night watches, you know, and dreams, they were seeing Yahushua, because Yahushua is the visible image of Yahuwah. He said, when you see me, you see the Father.
Yeah. And the key, the thing about it is like, once you get into the faith, like, that's what I learned. Once you get into the faith, once you get into keeping the commandments of Yahuwah and having a testimony of Yahushua, that's the beginning. Like, it's basically like you in a game, and now the enemy got you switched up your strategy. So now is to get you to be severed from the Messiah. That's why Yahushua said in the Revelations, he said, be sure that nobody takes your crown. Hold on to what you have. You know what I'm saying? Hold on to what you have, because the enemy will try to take the crown. Like, people who are blaspheming, you know, blaspheming the Ruach HaKodesh, he's taking their crown, man. And they can't, as a result of that, cannot enter into the kingdom.
You know what I'm saying? If you can't be forgiven, you can't enter into the kingdom.
Oh, go ahead, brother. Go ahead. I'm listening.
No, no. I think it's when we're talking about the falling away, that we're about to get into in a little bit, is talking about, you know, like our testimonies and proving that Yahushua is the Messiah. So people in the faith, that we be able, you know, we be able to be used to strength, like, and Yahushua can show us, and that foundation can be strengthened. You know what I'm saying? That belief in Yahushua can be strengthened, not just have a belief. That's what Christians, that's what Christianity does. You just have a belief. You just believe in the Messiah. But you have no foundation to prove that he is the Messiah. And Thessalonians say, prove all things. So we got to be able to prove he's the Messiah. You know, somebody say, well, how is the Messiah? Well, let's prove it. Because all these prophecies point to one man. You know, that's how you can rule out a false prophet, because if one of those prophecies don't match up, just one, then he's not the Messiah. Yeah.
I also would like to share some information with you all. Like by Yahushua being the branch, I know it was brought up also, but in Bereshit 49 verses 22 through 26, it actually talks about Yosef. And when you read that, you actually see Yahushua there as being that branch. But also, when you go to Yochanan, first Yochanan 15, like the whole chapter is pretty much about Yahushua being that branch. So I don't get how one can sit there and deny the Mashiach when it's right there. Because Yosef was an example of Yahushua. Was not he sold by his own people? Did not he come to save the whole Yisrael?
No.
That's why Yahuwah sent him down into Mitzrayim, so he could save Yisrael. And Yahushua, he came to save Yisrael.
You know, it's funny you're saying that, because, see, what they believe, what our ancient forefathers believe, was that they're going to be two messiahs, right? Ben Yosef and Ben Nawi. And so the Ben Yosef symbolizes the suffering servant. You know, we read in Isaiah 53, and him coming on a donkey, all these lowly, humble roles, right? But then you got Ben Dawi, which is a conquering king that's coming, you know, to fight his enemies and bring his people back into the land. So what they were looking for when Yahushua came for him to deliver them, you know, and they didn't understand the time that he was fulfilling his Ben Yosef role. See, they believe they're two different people, but really they're one and the same. Yahushua's Ben Yosef, and he's also Ben Dawi. You know what I'm saying? He's a suffering servant, and he's the king that's coming, you know, again, to deliver his people. And like you said, the similarity between Yahushua and Yosef was that, you know, his brothers didn't recognize him. They sold him to slavery for silver. You know what I'm saying? And then he revealed his brothers to them later on. They didn't recognize him, but he revealed himself to them. You know, the same thing that Yahushua's going to do. They denied him, but then to his brethren denied him. He came to his own. The own received him not. But when he comes back, they're going to recognize who he is. You know what I'm saying? But and you got the Ben Dawi situation, that he would sit on the throne of Dawi forever and reign. But see, what people say was, well, if he's not if he's not really the son, the natural father of Yosef, how could he be the Messiah? But see, it's something they overlook. Look in Bereshit when it says that the seed of the woman, the Messiah had to be born of a woman. This is way back then. He had to be born of a woman. He could not have been born of a natural birth. If he's born of a natural birth, he's not the Messiah, period. He had to be born of the seed of a woman. And that's what's in the Torah. He said, the seed of woman. He said the seed of Adam. He said the seed of the woman. You see what I'm saying? And so when you look at the scriptures and you look how Yahuwah had cursed the king, Yehoiakim, you know, I think I'm pronouncing that right, but basically it was a curse on him that none of his descendants would sit on the throne. He was a descendant of King Dawi. He said none would be successful on the kingdom of Dawi, meaning that no king would be as successful. They would not, you know, shine like King Dawi did. You see what I'm saying? So when they gave up when that happened, they basically gave up their right, because Yahuwah told them, if you do this, I will establish a kingdom forever. He told Solomon the same thing. But they didn't do that. If you notice, Solomon fell away, right? He didn't keep that covenant. So Yahuwah had to come with a plan. He had to come with the virgin birth. And you look at the apocryphal writings as well, it also says that Miriam was the descendant of Yahuwah as well. So then you got that established right there. So Yahuwah had to come on the planet and make him be the descendant of a virgin, you know what I'm saying, to come from the seed of the woman. He had to come from the seed of the woman, you know what I'm saying, a second Adam. Remember, Adam now, he didn't have an earthly father. You see what I'm saying? He was born from the earth, and Yahuwah breathed his spirit into him. He was born by the Ruach of Yahuwah.
That's right.
Same as the Mashiach.
So if they can believe that, why can't you believe that the Mashiach will come as a virgin, as an Amma, a young woman, a maiden? And what they'll do is they'll use Isaiah 7 and try to say, well, that means it's a young woman. That doesn't mean, you know, a virgin. But see, this is what they tripped themselves up right here. Okay, you got the Septuagint, which were translated by Hebrews. These are Hebrew guys, now, like 70 or 72 Hebrews, that translated this, the whole scriptures, and they used the word parthenos, which means virgin. You see what I'm saying? And they'll try to go further with that one and say, well, you know, they were using interchangeable words, yada, yada. And, you know, and they didn't really understand the Hebrew, and that's why the New Testament writers, they had, you know, used the virgin because they thought it was pertaining to a virgin. But that's not true, because you look in the scriptures, there's almost six other times that the word Amma is used to pertain to a virgin.
Yeah.
So Amma could be used to describe a virgin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It can be used to describe a virgin. As a matter of fact, the word Amma refers to a young married woman, and one of her characteristics, you know, is virginity. So how she can be a young, unmarried woman, but yet she's not a virgin? Doesn't make any sense. You know, she'd be stoned according to Torah.
And that's one of the reasons Yosef put it away, because he was like, well, how was she, you know, how was she with child, and I haven't, you know, came into it. You know what I'm saying? And that's why one of the reasons Yahuwah knew this, you know what I'm saying? Because that's being real, that will baffle somebody, you know what I'm saying? If she's saying she hasn't slept with anybody yet, so when he had that vision of the Malach, you know, telling him this, you know, he understood that. And that was faith on his part, to believe and trust in Yahuwah that, you know, this is not man's doing, but it's Yahuwah's doing, and it's marvelous, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. You know what else, too? They're trying to say, well, the word they should have used was Bethula. See, the reason why I believe that Yeshayahu Isaiah did not use Bethula instead of Amma. Because Bethula can be a young married woman who is not a virgin. But, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But she can be set apart because she's married. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it can mean that. So you got to get something that would definitely mean a virgin.
Yeah.
There's something that could be a virgin. Because when you look at Exodus 2:8, it describes Miriam, Moshe's sister, as an Amma, a young woman. She wasn't married at the time. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So basically, they twist the scripture to their own destruction, basically.
So
you look in Aramaic.
Huh?
Yeah, so you look in Aramaic, it says Batuta, you know what I'm saying, in place of, you know, the Amma. You know, but, okay, I'm going to read what it says right here. The Aramaic word Batuta clearly means virgin and not simply young lady. And so this is it's kind of similar to the word Bethula, you know what I'm saying? So Bethula and Amma could be used for the same exact thing. You got a Greek parthenos means virgin and not simply young lady. That both the ancient Aramaic and ancient Greek versions of Isaiah 7:14 understand Amma here to refer to a virgin. And they'll say, well, Emmanuel was one of Isaiah's sons. That's a lie, because you have no proof whatsoever saying that Isaiah's son. Because you look at it in chapter 9, it describes the role of Emmanuel, the Messianic prophecy. It calls him what? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty El, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, who else is he talking about? No man can be called no Everlasting Father, no Prince of Peace.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, go ahead, bro.
No. I was just saying it's wild because when you look at all the prophecies of Messiah, you got to understand, every prophecy has to watch match one man. Every prophecy has, we had experience, we talked about last week, somebody was saying, they were saying a physical man, was, and you know about the group, you know, like the YBY, you know, Yahweh Ben Yahweh people. They say a physical man is the Messiah, but yet you cannot prove he's the Messiah through scriptures, and that's how you know who a false prophet is, because you cannot prove it. And all these prophecies, like you're saying, have to match one man. They have to match one man. If it don't match one man, he can't be the Messiah.
Yep. And what they'll do is they'll try to say, well, you know, he can't be the Messiah because, you know, he there's no, that his disciples, not he said that his disciples stole him out the tomb. There's all this stuff is in the Talmud. But see, you can get some certain information, because what they believe was, they believe that Yahusha was an illegitimate child. That's what they believe. So there was questions about who his father was. That's evidence right there. The question who his father was. If you look at the book of John, it says, you know, we're not born of fornication. They're basically accusing Yahusha of being born of fornication. So there was a rumor going around at that time that, you know, that Yosef wasn't his father. So it was common knowledge. But they didn't understand that he was born by the Ruach HaKodesh. They didn't understand that.
Yeah. But you got to understand the Tanakh, too. I was going to say that people, you know, saying, and especially, you know, back in the day when Yahushua was walking, they had his first coming mixed up with his second coming. His first coming is written in the, you know, saying the Tanakh for him suffering and him, you know, going through what he had to go through for the, you know, saying the forgiveness of sins. And then it also talks about his second coming when he comes into his kingdom. And he establishes the kingdom of Yahuwah. And so what they got it twisted, see, you know what I'm saying? They was expecting him when he came to do what he did. Like he, you know, everybody knows he was his priest, king, and prophet. And so when he came, he was doing his priestly duty. He prophesied, you know what I'm saying, and everything. But they wanted him to do his king duty as far as to, you know, get rid of the Roman Empire, to take over, you know what I'm saying, basically to rescue them from the oppressions of the Romans. And he didn't do that at that time. And so they got mad with him. You understand what I'm saying? He mostly did he mostly did his duty as a prophet and as a priest. And you know what I'm saying? He prophesied to them and let them know, hey, you know, to come out of the Talmud and to come out of Hellenism, because that's what the Greeks promoted, their religion of Hellenism. You know what I'm saying? The Torah was almost about to be done away with. You know what I'm saying? They was about to try to put the Torah away. They had got away from the Torah. So Yahusha came down to establish the Torah and to also establish Yahuwah's name. That was one of his main missions, was to establish Yahuwah's name and to also be a sacrifice for forgiveness of sins. And so when he sacrificed himself on the stake, he was fulfilling his priestly duties as being you know what I'm saying, the advocate between man and the Father. And so, you know, when he come back this time, the second coming, he's going to come back and fulfill his role as a king. He's going to rule. He's going to rule with an iron rod. And that's what they wanted him to do when he first came, was to rule as an iron rod.
Yeah, that's on point, man.
I was remembering Deuteronomy 18, it says, a prophet like unto Moses. And see, that's the key to who Yahushua is right there. Because if you look what Moshe did, Yahusha basically paralleled what he did. You see what I'm saying? You know, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. You know what I'm saying? He was a deliverer. He stood in the gap for his people. Remember, Moshe wanted to be destroyed for the sake of his people. Yahusha took upon that role. Moshe taught Torah. Yahusha taught Torah. See, what Christianity does, it causes a confusion who the Messiah is, because they present a pagan Greek Messiah, you know what I'm saying, to Yahuwah's people. And they see that and they reject that, because that's not who the prophet like unto Moses supposed to be. He's supposed to be uplifting Torah, not taking away from Torah. So if you go around saying the law is done away with, and you're trying to bring people to Messiah that believe in Torah, they're going to reject it, because they're going to be like, well, how can you be a prophet like Moses? Because every word that Yahuwah put in his mouth, he got to speak. Remember, Yahushua said, the words that I speak are not mine, but my Father who sent me. So he's speaking everything that the Father was telling him to say, which is what? The Torah, the Word.
And now I want to get into the good section. I want to just throw it around the table and everybody get a chance to really, you know, prove. Because this got to be, you know what I'm saying, this got to be like to be able to strengthen somebody's foundation, man, you know, and so we can never be shaken. You know what I'm saying? That's what That's what Daoud used to say all the time, like, you know, like his faith will never be shaken because he knew. You know what I'm saying? You got to know the Messiah, not just believe. You got to know. And so we want to pass it around. Everybody get a chance, you know, number one, to establish, you know, the scriptures that you feel and the Ruach has led you to believe, you know what I'm saying, that Yahushua is the Messiah. And number two, you know, giving a personal testimony, because it said they overcame the beast by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You know what I'm saying? So we want to speak the word of our testimony and also prove by scriptures that Yahushua is the Messiah. So whoever want to, you know, kick it off, you know what I'm saying, get everybody a chance, you know, Shamar and everybody, give a chance to spit, you know, and, you know, no time limit, but, you know, just keep it going. So everybody want to start off, you know, got the floor.
Well nobody want to start. I'll start it off. Well, basically, I go to the scriptures. I go to two key scriptures that prove to me that Yahushua is Messiah. When I look at Psalms chapter 40, verse 6 through 8, it says, "Slaughter and meal offering did not desire. You have opened my ears. Ascending offering and sin offering did not ask for. Then I said, see, I have come, and the scroll of the book it is prescribed for me. I have delighted to do your pleasure, O my Elohim, and your Torah is within my heart." So, when I look at this here, I see that Yahushua is saying, Yahuwah is not looking for no slaughter meal offerings no more. You know what I'm saying? And so then Yahusha goes on to say, this is Yahusha talking. He's saying, see, I come to your desire, Elohim. He's saying, I've come, you know, with the book as written about him. So basically, the whole word that we read is all about Yahusha. If you don't have Yahusha as a center of what you're reading, you'll never understand these scriptures. I don't care how much Hebrew language you know, how many synagogues you go to, or, you know, if you're a prestige rabbi, whatever the heck you want to call yourself. If you don't have the Messiah as your foundation, you cannot truly get a full understanding of these scriptures, because you do not have the Ruach HaKodesh in you, and which is the spirit of truth and a counsel that teaches you all things. All right? Now I'm going to go to, in Luke, where the scripture lines up with. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to backdoor the scriptures with the scripture that basically let me know what the Messiah, who the Messiah is, and, you know. So when he said the scriptures bear witness of him, this is a perfect scripture that lines up with it. It's in Luke chapter 24. I'm going to have verse 27. It says, "In beginning at Moshe and all the prophets, he was explaining to them in all the scriptures the matters concerning himself." So he opened the understanding by his spirit, all the scriptures that pertained to him. Then you look at verse 44 and 45, he says, "And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all had to be filled that was written in the Torah of Moshe and the prophets, and the Tehillim, the Psalms, concerning me. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures." So basically, that's what Yahushua came to do. He let them understand, because a lot of things they didn't understand the time he came about the certain prophecies that's coming. That's why Yahushua asked them when he locked in prison, Are you the one, or are you looking for another one? You know what I'm saying? So remember now, at the time, a lot of people believe in two messiahs. So Yahuwah, he didn't say he didn't believe in the Messiah. He's just saying, you know, are we probably looking for another, or, you know, basically, like, what'd you come to do? And he's saying, tell him that the lepers are cleansed. You know, he's talking about the miracles he did. He's performing the role of Ben Yosef, the suffering servant. Now he's in the high priesthood role now. He's not commissioned as king until he comes on earth. Of course, he's the king of the kings, but he's not been commissioned to rule on earth until he comes back. You know what I'm saying? And see, that's another thing that trips people up. They're saying, well, if he's king, then he should have, you know, brought us back into the land. He should have did all these things. But see, he has not been commissioned as king yet. He's in the role of high priest right now at the order of Melchizedek.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And,
now I'm going to go to, give me a second. This is another one to healing that really gets me right here. Excuse me. It's in Psalms 16. I think verse 6 to 11, if I'm not mistaken. No. 8 through 10. It says, "I've set Yahuwah always before me, because he's at my right hand, I'm not shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my steam rejoices. My flesh also dwells in safety, for you do not leave my being in Sheol, neither let your lovely committed one see corruption." So who is he talking about? Because we know this is Dawi, so he's not talking about himself. We know that Dawi is dead and he's buried with our fathers. But this same Yahusha is risen from the dead. He didn't, the grave could not hold him. You see what I'm saying? He was a living Sheol. He did not see corruption, proving his resurrection.
Now, hold up. Now, read that scripture again. It said that you're reading out of Psalms, right?
Yeah.
And it's saying, hold up, let me get this up on my thing real quick. So that's Psalms 16.
Verse 8 through 10.
Verse 8 through 10, and let's see, hold up, it says, Kadesh 1. Do not let his Kadesh 1 see corruption. Okay.
So in order for somebody to see corruption, they had not to see death, right? They had to be resurrected. You know, in the pangs of Sheol couldn't hold them. So who else could, you know, overcome death? You know, there's no other person that can claim that. Every forefather and prophet, you know what I'm saying, either died or Yahuwah has translated them. They didn't see death, but Yahusha has seen death and conquered death.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's my proof right there. Those two key scriptures, many more, all through the scriptures, but those two right there to me is like, there's no denying those. You know what I'm saying? Who else is the scriptures writing about through the scriptures? What man can claim that but Yahusha, who's actually more than a man, more than a prophet. He's the son of Elohim. You know, the messenger of the covenant, the messenger of Yahuwah. All through the scriptures, he's appearing all through the scriptures over and over again, proving who he is, that he's the visible image of the Father. Now, as far as like my personal experience, well, Yahuwah has delivered me from a lot of things through his son, Yahusha Messiah. A lot of things that I used to do, I don't do no more. As far as like, you know, I should drink, I don't do that no more. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, I should smoke weed, I don't do that no more. I should smoke cigarettes, I don't do that no more. I could have done these things in my own power. But Yahuwah delivered me from these things, you know what I'm saying? Being out there running in the streets, you know what I'm saying? You know, banging, all that. Yahuwah delivered me from these things. You know, I could not have done that on my own power. Only by Yahusha living in me that he was able to change me. For any man being Messiah is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. You know, so Yahuwah had definitely had to transform me. And, you know, I had to be transformed new in my mind and my heart. And have my way focused on him. I had to make a choice, either be a soldier for the world and die, and, you know, go to Sheol, or B, I could die for Yahusha and live forever. You see what I'm saying? So I had to make a choice, and it really narrowed down my choices for me, and it made me get it together. You know what I'm saying? And I should have been dead, you know, a few times, but, you know, I didn't get killed. You see what I'm saying? So they let me know right now that you do not take Yahuwah's, you know, mercy and grace for, you know, for granted. You know what I'm saying? You do not test Yahuwah Elohim. If you feel like he's delivering you from things, you're having close calls, you need to bow down to him and humble yourself before him, decreasing yourself so that he may increase in your life.
What I wanted to give is three scriptures, and then to not. This is to for those who strictly claim just to be Tanakh only and everything, to prove that Yahusha HaMashiach is who he said he is. First of all, for those who are out there listening, you know what I'm saying, I pray that the Ruach bring conviction to your heart right now, you know what I'm saying, that it cut the heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh as you see the truth within your own scriptures. And I would advise people, I'm not saying that you need to learn how to speak complete Hebrew, but to get a real good understanding of the Tanakh, you need to learn some kind of Hebraic definitions. That way you can get a Hebraic mind thought, because the words that was given to Moshe were not written in English. It was written in Hebrew. You know what I'm saying? So that's what you got to understand. A lot of people are basing their knowledge just based off of English. And I tell you again, that is the English translation of the Bible, King James, is a very bad translation of the Bible. It lacks a lot of understanding when it comes to certain things. So let's go on to Psalms 2 and 2. And forgive me for y'all using these pagan titles for a second, but I'm going to show the correction in it. Now, I know some of y'all might be reading from the King James, and it says, "The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed." First of all, there's two things that are deceptions there. Okay, that word "the Lord" is not there in the Hebraic scriptures. It is Yahuwah is what's there, which is 3068. You know what I'm saying? And I know it might say Yahweh when you go to your, what do you call it, the Strong Concordance, but you have to look up your research. There's no W in Hebrew. and any word at the end that ends with the word hey as an alphabet ends in the ah sound. So that word there is Yahuwah. And also when you see anointed, or you, some say his anointed one, that's a deception there too. I mean, that's the meaning of the word, but the actual word is Mashiach, which is 40, which you can find in Strong's, which is 4899. So what it says is, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against Yahuwah and his Mashiach. So that shows you there in that scripture that there is a oneness with Yahuwah and the Mashiach. Also, as I stated earlier in Daniel, and you can look in the book of Daniel, chapter 9, where it talks about the Mashiach and the temple and the streets in being built for him, the second temple being built for him. And then it talks about the destruction of that second temple after he comes. And you can find that in Daniel chapter 9. Now, I know some people might say, well, it doesn't give a name of the Mashiach. If you do and put the history and put the timing together, you'll see the story that's been told for 2,000 years about a man being impaled and hung up on a tree for forgiveness of sins. Yes, it's been given in the wrong name for at least the last 1,300 years, but that man is Yahusha HaMashiach. That's how you pronounce his name. And the third thing, if you go into Malachi chapter 3, where it says Yahuwah says he is sending the messenger of the covenant. That's what it said. He said, I am sending the messenger of the covenant. That the man that fulfills that scripture is Yahusha HaMashiach. So there is a Messiah. So to deny that is to deny Malachi, to deny David, and to deny Daniel, and to say that they are false prophets. And so then you basically you're calling yourself false, because the same scriptures that you're promoting, which is the Tanakh, promotes a Mashiach. And that's all I have to say. I just pray that what I said, it brings conviction unto those who have given up on the Messiah and have denied him. May Yahuwah open up your eyes.
We give the word of testimony too. So give the word of your testimony
Money. You know, ever since I've begun to believe on the name of Yahusha HaMashiach, there's been, you know, blessings in my life. I've been through storms, and he showed himself to be faithful. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I've been persecuted more than anything when I use this name. I've been made fun of. You know what I'm saying? Everything that the gospel or the good news, the Besorah, said would happen. You know what I'm saying? There's not too many people who believe on that name. And like he said, there would be, you know, few. But the Father rolls with the few. He doesn't roll with the many. He rolls with the few.
Yeah. All right.
I would definitely like to share my testimony and what Yahusha has done for me. I would like to share some scriptures coming from Haggai, first chapter, verse 12 through 14. And it reads, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Yahusha, son of Yahusadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of Yahuwah the Elohim and the words of Haggai the prophet, as Yahuwah the Elohim had sent him. And the people feared the presence of Yahuwah. And Haggai the messenger of Yahuwah spoke the message of Yahuwah to the people, saying, I am with you, declares Yahuwah. And Yahuwah stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Yehuda, and the spirit of Yahusha, son of Yahusadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of Yahuwah, of hosts, the Elohim. And I would like to say that right there was actually prophesied right there that Yahusha, son of a Yahushadak, would actually, you know, bear the name of our Mashiach, Yahusha. Because Yahusha is our high priest. And, you know, many people, you know, feel like Yahusha doesn't exist. But, you know, like the Ox said earlier, when he came, before he did his priestly duties. And I would just like to just share a few more scripture concerning it. It'll be second chapter and the fourth verse. And now, be strong, Zerubbabel, declares Yahuwah, and be strong, Yahusha, son of Yahushadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, declares Yahuwah, and work, for I am with you, declares Yahuwah of hosts. And if we would turn to Hebrews 5 or Hebrews 7, chapter 7, to the 11th, to the 10th verse, it actually reads, for he was still in my loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Truly then, if perfection were through the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people were given the Torah, why was there still another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not according to the order of Torah? Being changed of necessity, there was takes place to change the law also. For he of whom this is said belongs to another tribe, for which no one had attended. For it is perfectly clear that our master arose from Yehuda, a tribe about which Moshe never spoke of concerning priesthood. And this is clearer still if another priest arises in this likeness of Melchizedek, who has become not according to the Torah of fleshly command, but according to the power of endless life. For he does witness, you are the priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. For there is indeed a setting aside of former commands because of the weaknesses and unprofitabilities, for the Torah perfect naught, but bringing in the better expectations through which draws near to Elohim. And it was not without oath, for they indeed became priests without oath, but he became priest with an oath by him who said to him, Yahuwah has sworn and has not and shall not regret. You are the priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. By as much as this, Yahusha has become the guarantor of a better covenant. By me sharing these few scriptures, Yahusha has became that guarantor for me, because he has definitely brought me out of the world, you know, from running the streets, actually being involved in a lot of illegal activity. Since I found his son Yahusha, of course, I have been persecuted by my own family. You know, I'm firsthand witness of, you know, those in your household, you know, being your enemy, because you know, when I go around my family and I use the words Yahuwah and Yahusha, you know, I get persecuted for it because I'm not using these pagan titles. He's been great to me. like, as you know, a lot of you know that I'm going through a certain situation with my family, with my son, and in the midst of it all, he's kept my son safe, and he's just been so good. I could have been dead many a times also. Like I was telling out last night, that when I was actually a part of Christianity, that I actually got robbed on the church ground at gunpoint. So he has definitely been great to me, and I just wanted to share with you all that, you know, I believe that Yahusha is the high priest, I agree with the odd that his priestlyhood was definitely, you know, his part of his first coming, and his second coming when he comes, you know, he's coming to take his kingship, but also he's definitely bringing that circle with him, and it speaks of the wrath of Yahuwah and his son in the flock.
Man, praise Yahuwah, man. Praise Yahuwah.
Hallelujah.
Praise Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, praise Him.
I guess thank for everybody's testimony, man. That's awesome, man. I guess I want to start off by going to Bereshit Genesis. Twenty-two verse seven. And it states, Yazak spoken to Abraham, his father. This is when they was going up on a mountain, and this is like my favorite one. I like to use it, proving to me that Yahusha's Messiah. Is like Abraham said to his father. He said, "My father." He said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire in it says the fire in the wood." I says, "Behold, the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, Elohim will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them together. And they came to the place which Elohim had told him, and said, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Yazak, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took out the knife to slay his son, and the Malach, messenger of Yahuwah, called upon out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." And he said, lay not a hand upon the boy. He said, neither do anything unto him. But now I know that you fear Elohim. See that you cannot lay thy hand on their only son for me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behold, he said, "Look, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns." And so right there, I was like, you know, that's a good one. When I'm, you know, speaking about it, because it's like, okay, he said he would provide the lamb, and then the messenger of Yahuwah calls out from heaven, and he says, "You will not hold your own son." And so the context of how he was speaking, you know, it really wasn't, no, it wasn't Gabriel, it wasn't Raphael, it wasn't, you know, any other messengers. I believe it was Yahusha, you know, saying that you know, speaking the word of Yahuwah, that he would not withhold his only son, because it was like foreshadowing, you know, Yahuwah not withholding his only son, you know, from us. And it was a ram caught in the thicket, and it was almost like Abraham prophesied, because he said that Yahuwah will provide a lamb. But remember, it was a ram there. But you go back, you go to Yehukanan 1. You go to Yehukanan 1 and 29, and it says, first Yehuchanan 1:1, and it says, the next day Yehuchanan seeth Yahushua coming unto him, and saith, behold the Lamb of Elohim, which take away the sins of the world. And so it's like Yahushua was that burnt sacrifice, like the lamb, the burnt sacrifice. And that's what burnt sacrifices was, you know, for like a sin offering. You know what I'm saying? So that's one I like to, you know, proving that Yahushua is the Messiah. And another one, because we can be here a long time talking about Yahushua, man, about proving he is the Messiah, man. But I know this is another one I like right here in Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 talks about the feast, and it says 23:5. It says in the 14th day of the first new moon. It says at the evening is Yahuwah's Passover. On the 14th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto Yahuwah. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. First day is a set apart convocation. You shall do no sellout work. And so you get back into the Passover. We talked about the Passover. It's like, man, it's like Yahushua actually, like, you know, died on the 14th. You know what I'm saying? He was slain on the 14th, and on the day of the Passover. You know what I'm saying? He was that lamb again. Like, also, it's like all these feasts and everything was foreshadowing him. And another one I like, one with the ox was going over, is Tehillim, Psalms 2. Psalms 2, verse 7. This is another one I like right here. And it says, I declare the decree. Yahuwah have said unto me, you are my son. This day I have begotten you. And so that's another one to me proving the use of the Messiah, because he was just talking about, you know, Yahuwah and his anointed. And on the same subject, you know, he talks about, it's almost like Yahuwah is in Shemayim and his son is right beside him, you know, and he's saying, you know, you are my son, you know, like, because Yahushua came forth out of the bosom of the Father, like out of, you know, he's the Ruach, you know, brought forth out of the Father, man. So it's like, you know, and he states that to the disciples again when they was looking and they saw Moshe and Eliyahu, and the voice came out from heaven and say, you know, this is my son, you know, this is my son. So he was showing them, like, this is his son that he brought forth, that came forth out of him, like, you know, the essence of Yahuwah, you know. So that's one of the many ones that go over. As far as testimony, word of Yahuwah, testimony, it's like, man, like, Yahuwah is just, I was thinking about the other day, it's like, man, it's really been nothing, because he said that promise, you know, anything you pray in my name, you know, Yahushua's name, that he would give you. And I think about it, it's really been nothing that I, since I came into the truth, you know, before when I was in JC, you know, I got to the point one time where I actually cursed JC. I actually cursed, you know, the name of Jesus Christ, because it was like that spirit, that whatever it was, it did not hear me. It could not deliver. It could not deliver. And I was like, man, I actually prayed that moment. I was just so frustrated. I was like, I'm trying to find, you know, at this point I was in GOD, the GOD of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you know, because I knew we got to go back to the beginning. So I was like, I'm trying to find him, because I know he, you know, in the Tanakh, in the scriptures, that's who it was, you know, the Elohim, GOD of Abraham. And because I was like, this personal experience, just delivering, it's like, you know, that spirit. And I think that's what he says. You know, he says a lot of times in Yeshayahu, you know, a lot of people are praying to a mighty one that can't save. And I'm here to say, man, you know, Jesus Christ cannot save anybody. You know what I'm saying? Because when I was down and out, called upon that name, you know, nobody came. You know what I'm saying? But since I've been in the truth, you know, called upon Yahushua, man, I've seen miracles happen, man. I've seen miracles happen. I've seen people, you know, and that's the works of Yahuwah, is to actually see, you know, seeing people being healed, you know, seeing people being healed and seeing people that's sick, you know, come back to and be healthy, you know, and so that's my testimony to say, man, that I've seen it and felt it. That man, Yahusha, is a Messiah, man. So Shamar, I think we got Shamar left.
Yeah. I'm here. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Any sisters on here? Shabbat Shalom. Me personally, I want to just go to these few scriptures, and then I want to give my testimony. The first scripture I want to go to as I was coming out of Babylon and researching and understanding the Torah, came to understand Ezekiel chapter 10 and what Yashiron was saying earlier about Yahuwah not really, he didn't desire the calves and the lambs, the meal offerings and the slaughterings, but he desired the people, you know, the belief of his people. He wanted his people to believe in him. So Ezekiel chapter 10 here, verse 16, therefore I say, thus said the Master Yahuwah, although I have sent them far off among the nations, and although I have scattered them among the lands, yet I was for them a set-apart place for a little while in the lands to which they came. Therefore say, thus said the Master Yahuwah, and I shall gather you from the peoples, and I shall assemble you from the lands where you have been scattered, and I shall give you the land of Israel. And they shall go there and shall take away all the disgusting matters and all its abominations from there. And I shall give them one heart, put a new spirit within you, and I shall take the stony heart out of your flesh and give them a heart of flesh, so that they walk in my laws and guard my right rulings and shall do them, and they shall be my people, and I shall be the Elohim. When I read this scripture, it reminded me of what was quoted also in Hebrews, I believe, chapter 8, about the renewed covenant through Yahusha HaMashiach. And he was fulfilling this prophecy of getting rid of those tablets of stone and actually taking those 10 words and writing them on our hearts so that we believe him. And I believe we can all attest to this prophecy fulfillment through Yahusha HaMashiach, that we all came out of the state of disillusionment and we came to believe on the Father, and our trust-grounded obedience is what caused us to get this far through Yahusha HaMashiach. So that scripture bear witness in my life, and I'm sure the rest of our lives as well. Another scripture which also bears witness to this is Yohanan 14, I'm going to start at 23. Yahusha answered him, if anyone loves me, he shall guard my word, and my Father shall love him, and we shall come to him and make our stay with him. He who does not love me does not guard my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but of the Father who sent me. These words I have spoken to you while still with you, but the Helper, the set-apart Spirit, whom the Father shall send in my name, he shall teach you all and remind you all that I said. Okay, again, coming out of that state of disillusionment, we can only give the credit to Yahusha HaMashiach and his walk and his sacrifice, that through him, the Ruach has been allotted to us, that we can return to the Father through belief, through trust-grounded obedience, that we can come out of our state of sleep. And personally, when I look at my life over the past 3 to 4 years, coming out of the wide road that leads to death on many aspects, such as my health, the things that I put in my body, the things that I expose to my subconscious, like what I listen to, what I see, all these things have inspired change, and the only person that's due credit is Yahushua HaMashiach, or is Yahuwah through Yahushua HaMashiach. So another thing, another scripture, when you, let's see, Luke chapter 3, this is just something for if the Hebrews or the guys haven't done this, when you look at the lineage of Yahushua described in Luke 3, if you go back and translate all those names back to the Hebrew, it gives the complete history of the nation of Israel from the time of Adam to the time of Yahushua, and it's basically a redemption story. That was very, very encouraging. It also solidifies that there is a Mashiach, Yahushua was real, and that if you are ascribing to be a Hebrew, if you are denying Yahushua, you're basically denying this lineage and this testimony. We cannot claim to be Hebrews, descendants of these great people, of this great nation, and not ascribe to the custom, the cultural heritage of these people, in that the prophets prophesied about this coming, this Mashiach, and that this was something that our people had been waiting on, as a lot of the brothers had already stated. A lot of people were pointing and waiting on this Mashiach. So for us to be here today, knowing that we're Hebrews returning to the Father, to deny that Yahushua had anything to do with that is blasphemous. That's my testimony. I didn't give my testimony. Let me see. Testimony I want to give about Yahushua, well, in my life, first of all, coming out of church, I know a lot of the Hebrews share this same testimony. We didn't start really, really learning about Yahuwah and about who we were, about Yahushua, until we came out of the church. And I think that's a great big, that's something to be noted, from all the doctrinal demons that are within that atmosphere, which are against Yahushua. So I want to say, coming out of the church, the first thing that Yahuwah showed me was about the name. First book I read coming out of the church was Come Out of Her, My People. This book, it basically broke down the etymology of certain words that the Christian church has taught us to use. One sticking with me the most was the breakdown of the name Jesus. And that I would say was the most significant part of my walk, is learning how to have a purified tongue in walking with Yahuwah and understanding the difference between the pagan titles, the names, and how do I truly worship the Father and the Son in truth. So that's my testimony.
Man, I was thinking about just the scripture that said, you know, how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. And I'm just thinking, like, man, you know, that's what it is, man, strengthening each other, you know, sharpening each other's faith, man, and just continue to encourage people. And now, this way, we talked about, you know, the falling away, the strengthening and everything, but what is the solution? We want to get everybody, like, one or two, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, talk about the solution. What can we do now to help, you know what I'm saying? Because there's going to be a separation. I was talking to Yajwan about it before. I said, man, it's to the point now where you have to say, hey, you're either going to serve JC, you're going to take the mark of the beast, or you're going to serve Pooch. You know, if he be the Messiah, you know, serve him. So I'm saying, what is the point now? How do we attack this? You know what I'm saying? Do we go to the churches? What do we do? You know what I'm saying? To number one, we seek the Father. You know what I'm saying? What is the thoughts on that? We'll put that on the floor real quick.
Okay, you go ahead.
Okay. Me personally, what I've experienced, you know, going out and proclaiming the truth to the brothers and the sisters, you tend to receive a lot of opposition when doing that.
Yeah.
what I found in my walk is sometimes the best thing you can do for people is to, like, if you have a family, you got an Isha, you got children, you instill Yahuwah and Yahusha in your family, and you let your walk, your family walk with Yahuwah be seen amongst all the nations, even the nation of Israel. You let people see how you walk with Yahuwah and allow them to be jealous. Allow them to be jealous. Allow them to wonder, you know, wow, you know, what is it? What is it about it? Because sometimes, like Yahusha said, a prophet is not received in his own town. That is so true, man. Like, people you grew up with, when you try to go back and say, yo, let's meet, let's sit down, you get that opposition. But I feel like sometimes it's so much more effective when people are allowed to see that you are walking on a straight path and that you don't look to the left or to the right. So I think that's a piece of what we can do, and I'm sure some other the brothers can add to that. I think that's just a piece of what we can do. We have to make sure our lives are blameless in the eyes of our brothers and the nations that are looking at us. And we're saying that we are the Hebrews. We have to reflect that on a day-to-day basis, walking in truth and in power, so that they can be jealous.
Good point, Howard.
I agree too, as well, being a light to our to the nations. You know what I'm saying? Yahusha's called us to be a light. Our own actions can basically change the surroundings around us. If we walk in righteousness, they'll rub off on other people. They'll start doing what's right, or they'll start asking questions why you do what you do.
Yeah.
You know, and I also believe too that we should go to the head and go to these leaders. These leaders in these congregations. And you know, once you get to the source of the problem, you know, it would mainly reflect on like a chain reaction and everything else. Let's say, like, you go to a minister and you tell them about, you know, about the pagan again, about JC being the mark of the beast and that he's in error, you know, and basically rebuking him out of love and let him know, you know, that he must come to repentance and get back into the marriage contract with Yahuwah through his son, Yahushua Messiah. And like I say, if he receives it, then that would help the whole congregation because he'll spread it to all those people. That's like basically killing two birds with one stone, you know what I'm saying? You get to the source of the problem, everything else is going to fall in line. But let's say if he rejects it, it's on him because he has that responsibility to teach the rest of the people. You see what I'm saying? And I also believe, too, that we should study the quote, you know, what people call the Tanakh. I call it, you know, basically the Law and the Prophets, you know, the writings. We should start reading these more and seeing Yahusha in this so we can prove all things and prove that Yahusha is Messiah, not just by the New Testament, quote-unquote New Testament, but by the quote-unquote Old Testament. You see what I'm saying? Because when Yahusha walked the earth, he didn't have the New Testament. The New Testament wasn't written yet. So how did he prove who he was? You know,
exactly.
By the Law and the Prophets. He was, you know, he was explaining to them that this prophecy points to me, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And see, if we don't have that foundation, we basically just, like the brother was saying earlier, we just believe, that's not going to do you any good because you have no foundation, you have no roots. You know, so who's bearing you, basically? You know what I'm saying? Yahusha says, you know, when he said, I'm the root, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You know what I'm saying? If you don't abide in that vine, you won't bear fruit, and therefore you will not abide in him. See, any tree, any branch that bear fruit is, you know, cast to the fire, basically. You know what I'm saying? So if you don't abide here and bear any fruit, your fruits are not showing righteousness. You know, your foundation of Messiah being your life, you know, which is his commandments, then, you know, you're not part of him. So that's, you know, so basically we got to be able to prove that Yahusha is Messiah by looking at these Old Testament writings. Like you got the, like for example, I'll say Genesis chapter 49, verse 10, he says, the scepter should not turn aside from Yehuda, nor inscribe it from between his feet until Shiloh comes, or Shiloh comes, and to him is obedience of peoples. This right here is a major help to those that are stumbling the Messiah, because what he's saying here is that the scepter would not depart from Yehuda, nor a lawgiver between his feet until Shiloh, which Shiloh is symbolic for the Messiah. You know, all our ancient fathers knew what this meant, that Shiloh was pointing to the Messiah. And basically what he's saying is that when the Messiah shows up, the scepter will depart from Yehuda, which it actually did because King Herod was in power, which was an Edomite. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah.
The Messiah had to show up exactly when King Herod was on the throne, which proves that Yahusha is Messiah. He said a lawgiver. Because remember now, that we wouldn't, you know, deal with our own criminals. The Romans were doing it. You see what I'm saying? So this proves that Yahusha is Messiah. He said exactly when the scepter depart from Yehuda and a lawgiver from between his feet. You know, it's like, it's proven that Yahushua Messiah, he showed it exactly at the appointed time. the first century.
Man, praise who? I agree with both of y'all. Like you said, through our lives, you know, showing number one the righteousness of Yahuwah. You know what I'm saying? That you may be a light to me. You said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and esteem your Father which is in heaven. You know what I'm saying? So I believe that's number one. And then, like you said, y'all, want to building off that is going to the leaders of the heads, and, you know, because number one, that's what the Besor is. It's like, Yahusha said he judges no one, you know, like the word judges, you know what I'm saying? So once you come to, and Yahusha used you to preach the Besor to, you know, a leader in the congregation, no matter if they don't believe or not, you know, judgment just came, because judgment starts in the, you know, with his people, you know. So I think another good point too is to study, you know, that we need to study to show ourselves approved, you know, that we may be a vessel set apart for good use. Like what Shamar was saying, you know, you got to study, you got to know, well, what if they ask this? Well, what if they say this? You know, because there's so many doctrines of demons that you got to be aware. You know, you don't want to, somebody asks a question and you don't know, or you don't know how to, you know, point them to the right direction, because it's basically like, you know, you, one of the scriptures say, you know, Daoud was inspired to write, you know, Yahuwah trains my hand for war. You know what I'm saying? So we, it's not, but our war is not, you know, flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and different things. So he's training, you know, first we got to be trained for war. And once we train for war, you know, we got to go to battle and do these spiritual and put on these spiritual strongholds. It's like Shamar said, you know, with our family, steps and our family. But I really believe, like, just, I think the thing is studying to show ourselves approved, and really, I say seeking the Father too, man, because it's amazing. I know some of the brothers got so many testimonies. It's amazing when you study to show yourself approved, and then put it in Yahuwah's hands and just ask Yahuwah, really seek Yahuwah on a daily basis, asking Him, you know, Father, is there somebody you want me to talk to? You know, send somebody, you know, lead me to somebody, one person. It was just one person, you know. And really being open to allow the Father to put you in that position, man, because you have, I like to call them a divine appointments. You know what I'm saying? Well, you'll meet this person that needed that one word that you had, you know, that He will use you to speak, you know. And I think it's seeking the Father on a daily basis, asking Him really, you know, Father, use me today to help somebody that's in need, that needs you. And it's gonna be amazing how you see every day, how, you know, you might not even see it, but the Ruach could call back to your mind and show you, look how you just then, you know, to help that person that needed help, because you always looking to speak. It was always a certain person that Yahusha came to heal. Of course, He could heal a lot of people. He healed a lot of people, and but it was always a certain person. It was always a story that the Ruach chose to write down and record, because Yahusha was led by the Ruach, so that's how we got to be. We got to be led by the Ruach, and not just because we can get so hyped. I remember me and Yasmin used to talk about, we can get so hyped where we just feel like, you know, and that's what some Hebrews do, just because they know the truth, they want to go tell everybody, but they're not led by the Ruach to say, you know, I should go, you know, Yahuwah, should I go to this church and that church? So, you know, where do you want me to go? You know, instead of just let me just go reckless and. Because if we in the army, you know, you wouldn't move and make no sudden movements without the commander. You know what I'm saying? Saying this is where you're going. So it's the same concept. You know, you're asking the Father, you know, which way should I go? You know, and he'll direct us. You know, acknowledge Him in all our ways, and you know, he should direct our path. You know what I'm saying? To go to these churches, to what right churches to go to, what right people to go to that he needs to send us to, you know what I'm saying, seeking that first and then just going from there. Because I believe, you know what I'm saying, I'll go down from there. So,
peace.
Then we got Cedric and Yuka now left.
Okay, I would like to share, you know, I feel like we should always encourage our brothers and sisters, you know, out there, to study. and not follow man. That's one way we can improve the situation. Because, you know, a lot of our brothers and sisters, they don't study. They just listen to what the pastors and their leaders are telling them. And like, you know, I feel like we can show our studying and, of course, you know, seeking the Father first in everything that we do, and, you know, and striving to keep his Torah. And like the Ox was saying, you know, by our walks, if we're walking according to the laws of Yahuwah and his son Yahushua, you know, the question is, like, you know, hey, you know, because the curiosity is going to be there. And they're definitely going to know, you know, why are you doing this, and what does this mean? Because, you know, I'm pretty sure most of us wear ZZs. So, like, when I go to work and people see my ZZs, they ask me, you know, what does that mean? And I tell them, and you know, they ask me because they see me eating kosher food, trying to keep the laws of Yahuwah. They ask me why I don't eat certain foods and things like that. So, and once I tell them, and they're like, oh, and you know, like a lot of my family, they ask me questions about, you know, why I don't eat food, and it actually has made them change their diet as well. So you know, like I was saying, you know, we have to be the light. You know, show ourselves approved, and you know, so, because a lot of times when we take it upon ourselves and to go and share the good news, the adversary is there. He's gonna give that opposition. Be like, hey, you know, the first thing they're gonna say, hey, you don't believe in JC or whatnot, you know, or they bring that traditional man at you. So it's almost like you have to take like simple steps as you would with a baby to break things down to them, to help them to see. And I also agree with Agar Yasharon about, you know, we definitely need to go to these leaders out here and share the Basara with them. Because people that they look up to these leaders. Just imagine if we were able to sit, you know, with the mega church pastor and share our conversations that we're having now with him. Yahuwah may touch his heart and may shine the truth into his life. And this brother got, you know, 30,000 people following him. That could definitely have a great and big impact, you know, on with our Hebrew people. So, you know, all I have to say is just study for yourself. And just strive to keep the commands of the Father.
Hallelujah.
Well, this is Brother Yehukanan, and I want to say, you know, we got to not only be hearers of it, but doers of it. You know what I'm saying? We got to walk it out. That's the first thing. A lot of people were drawn to the Messiah because he was living something. You know what I'm saying? He lived something that made people, that drew people to them. And if you look at... even during the civil rights movement, there was something that, you know, the civil rights leader lived that draws men, you know, unto them. So that's the first thing we got to do. And then we got to do it with love. And sometimes it can be very frustrating because the way the enemy got it set up, it make it seem like you the anti-Messiah. You know what I'm saying? When you the one bringing the truth. It's like everything's kind of reversed. And that's why the Messiah said that there will be people who try to kill you that think they're doing service to Elohim.
Exactly.
Because everybody everybody's mind is so messed up. So when they come against you, when they talk about you, they think they're doing a service unto Elohim, but they're not. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's so twisted. And that's right. We do need to talk to the leaders, because, you know, that's one way of really trying to reach the masses. Because for some reason they have some kind of seducing spirit on them that has the people following them. But one thing is, we can't lead people to the Messiah. What we need to do is reveal the Messiah to them. And what I'm saying is, a lot of these leaders want to lead them to the Messiah, meaning that they want to be in control. They want to be the master of them. But when you reveal Messiah to people, you're actually offering them up a brothership. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, I'm not trying to be your master or your leader. I want to be your brother. You know what I'm saying? I want to be someone that holds, you know, you hold me accountable, I hold you accountable. Let us learn from each other. There's no thing of position. Like the Messiah said, you know, those who want to be the greatest amongst you is your servant.
Yeah.
And as you see, everybody now is trying to be leader. They're trying to get a leadership, a following going. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're trying to steal the esteem of the Most High, because they want to be praised by men. And that's really what it is. People want to be praised. You know what I'm saying? They want to get the they want to get the glory from it. They want to get the props for it. And we gotta walk in humility. But this is about souls. So all it comes down to is, do we really love people's souls? Do we really care about the condition of a person's soul? When people see that you come in genuinely, you know. I don't know if anybody ever watched that movie by Tyler Perry. It's called Madea Goes to Jail. And the two prostitutes were sitting on the street, and the lady came to talk to them. She said, I've seen men come in whatever name of whatever God, but this woman has held true to what she says. And that's what people are looking for. They're looking for some genuine people. Because a lot of people come to them saying, you know, they into this and into that, and they end up hurting or deceiving people. But they got to see that love on us. That's the main thing. We got to have that love. That's that supernatural power love that we need to have. That's what they need to see about us. That's what's going to draw them and give them, you know, opportunity to hear what we have to say. The ministers, to be honest with you, I really believe that Yahuwah has really talked to some of them, and the only thing we're doing when we go talk to them is showing the grace or the favor of Yahuwah. You know what I'm saying? We're confirming to them. But I really believe that some of them do know. There might be some really in error. But you got to think about with Noah. You know, Noah, he revealed himself to Noah, and he told Noah, hey, look, I'm finna make it rain, build an ark, and go warn the people. Now, as he began to go warn the people, and they already knew that they were sinning against the Most High. But, you know what I'm saying, but Noah was coming to, you know what I'm saying, to show the favor, to show that grace, to give them another chance. And so we can do that. I don't discourage nobody from doing it. But just count the cost and be ready. Because this walk comes with, you know, it ain't a comfortable walk. This is a walk that, you know what I'm saying, you got to be made of something. You really got to have the Ruach in you to continue in this walk.
Straight up.
I really wanted to
put emphasis on that, and I kind of forgot. Like, the Mashiach, through the Mashiach, we received the Ruach, man. And I wanted to say that, man. You really have to have the Ruach to be steadfast in this walk, because you know, the popular doctrine is saying that, you know, you can have all this prosperity and you can have this, name it and claim it. You know, that's all well and good and everything, but I feel like the true walk is about being strengthened through being deprived. That's what I feel like all of us have learned, you know, being afflicted so that you be tested and tried, and then you be perfected in Yahuwah. I feel like that's the real nature of the Ruach is to make you perfect through trial. So That's just what I wanted to say. I had that on my heart.
Yeah. I was thinking about a scripture when Yehuda and I was talking, and it came to me just now. I said, you remember Yehuda said, he said, if my name be lifted up, you know, I think that's what he said, if my name be lifted up, I draw all men to me. You know what I'm saying? If he be lifted up, you know what I'm saying, he would draw, you know, all men, just like he was lifted up on that stake. You know, we lift Yahusha up. You know, we lift him up. We continue to talk about his name. We continue to proclaim him. We continue to lift it up, man. And the mystery of the Besor, you know, is Yahusha in you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you continue to lift Yahusha up. You know what I'm saying? Wherever you at during the day, you know what I'm saying? People be drawn to Yahusha in you. You know what I'm saying? To find out what's going on. You know, to so I think that's a big one is, you know, if he be lifted up, you know what I'm saying, he'll draw all men unto him.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So if any of the brothers got any final words, anything, got any closing thoughts, anything. But yeah, man, I appreciate everybody. We're going to do this again, man, Yahuwah willing, because it's a beautiful thing, man. That's what we need to do, man, just continue to, band together with the people that, you know, keep the commandments, man. Have faith in Yahusha. You know what I'm saying? Because that's where it starts at. And it's like it's time to really just grind together, man. It's like it's time to really. It's few in numbers, man. But it's time to, you know, hit the streets together, man. Wherever we got to, you know, how we networking, man. The track, getting out there, passing out things, just continue to go, man, and grind, man. Because, you know, when we was growing up, we didn't have nobody coming to you, you know, telling you, teaching you, you know, about the truth. You didn't have that. So we have that. So we have the ability to do that.
Man, that's so powerful. I tell that people all the time. Like, man, when I was younger, looking back in retrospect, it would have been nice to have somebody that I knew the truth and that I could go to all the time. And I knew that they would give it to me straightforward. So we have that responsibility to fill that void, because that void, you know, wasn't filled in our early lives, but by the favor of Yahuwah, through Yahusha Mashiach, he called us out to fill that void in other people's lives. So we got to do that, man.
Exactly, man. Right. So, man, yeah, we're gonna pray it up, man, and we gonna get up out of here, man. But I thank y'all coming on the show. And we actually want to have if you guys want to take us out of here, we're gonna do that, man. But we're gonna definitely do this again, man, who are willing, man, because we just need to start, you know, unifying, man, under Yahuwah, man, his Messiah. So Yasmin, if you would close us out, man, that'd be beautiful.
Okay. Father Yahuwah, we come for you now, Father. We thank you, Father, for redeeming us, Father, from this world, Father. We ask you to continue to keep us rooted in Yahusha HaMashiach. You may use us, Father, as vessels of honor, Father, to bring your people unto you, to your Son, Father Yahuwah, that you may soften their hearts, that they may hear your voice. That you may also, Father, put a hedge around us, Father, that no evil can penetrate, Father Yahuwah, that you cover with the blood of Yahusha on a regular basis. That you not in every stronghold, Father, that comes our way, Father, that you give us a tongue that our adversary not be the gainsay nor resist, Heavenly Father. And we ask you, Father Yahuwah, that you may also soften the hearts of those, Father, that are in these buildings, these church leaders, Father Yahuwah, that they may humble themselves, Father, so that you may increase in their lives, Father Yahuwah. And we ask you, Father Yahuwah, that you may expose the false prophets, Father, and the false leaders, Father, that they will harden themselves against you, Father, against your word, Father. And that you may also, Father, let your name be esteemed and your Son's name be esteemed, Father Yahuwah, that all nations may know to call upon you, to your Son, Yahusha HaMashiach. In the name of Yahusha HaMashiach, we pray, so be it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Man, it's been awesome with the brothers on the way, man. Yahuwah just moved. Man, we got to share this, man, because we got to continue to preach the Besor, man, like it's, like, because it's time now to do it, man. So, hey, check us out next time, Yahuwah willing, man. It's been a blessing, man. Yahuwah bless you and keep you, man. His face shine upon you. Hey, we out of here. You've been listening to On the Way. He will bless you. He will bless
you. Yeah, he will bless you.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where It's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way, poetic energy network. Stations.